Welcome to the 100% Financed Podcast, home of entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors everywhere. 100PF is not just an online business, it's a culture, helping you make more money while maintaining pretty credit. If you're looking for great content on credit repair, business credit, creative financing, motivation, and online business, then you found the right podcast. Listen up as Juan Pablo, the People's Mentor, presents another great podcast episode for your listening pleasure. Juan Pablo, give these beautiful people the tools they need to succeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Juan Pablo from the 100% Finance Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today's topic of discussion is getting started in wholesaling. Not just treating wholesaling as if a self-employed person would treat it, but as if an entrepreneur was running the damn thing. So thanks again for joining our podcast. We greatly appreciate your listening ear. So today we have a special guest. We have Magic Mike. What's up, Magic Mike?
I'm here. How's it going?
Great, great. So before we get started with the Q&A portion, inquiring minds want to know, how you get the name Magic Mike?
Do you believe in magic? I don't know where it came from. I was always wondering about bandit signs and putting them out, and if people would remember the number. And so I came up with this website, MagicMikeBuysHouses.com. I mean, it's long, but once you see it, you're not gonna forget it. So I just slapped that on a bandit sign, and people are like, oh, what's the name of that site? My mom was like, why are you, people are going to be thinking you're a stripper. And I'm like, so they'll go to the website, they can easily remember it and do it later, because who's going to remember a phone number, even if there are, they say repeating digits, so it's easy to remember. But I mean, I could put them at anywhere.
Right. That makes sense. That's a name that sticks. And I was thinking it was because Magic Mike meaning, oh, motivated seller, I make all your headaches disappear if you sell me your house. Or buyers who are flippers and real estate investors, they just throw the cash at you like the stripper, in other words. But that's pretty cool, Mike. That's a creative name. So Magic Mike, first question, getting started on wholesaling. Before we get into the intricate details, I want to know a little bit more about yourself. If you don't mind sharing this information, how many deals do you average per month from wholesaling, and how much money do you make per month, if you don't mind sharing it?
Yeah, I don't mind. I do about 2 deals a month, and I make about $10,000 per deal.
Yeesh. And that's on average, correct?
Yeah. I may have a deal that's, the house will be like $30,000, but I'll be selling it for $10,000 and I'll make $5,000, and then I'll just make it up on the other one. I'll sell it for an extra $15,000, make it up on the other one.
Excellent. So my next question, Mike, is this: what is wholesaling and how did you get started in wholesaling?
So I got inherited a house. And I had sold it, I wanted out. And then I thought, well, I could buy a house. I was a tenant for a while. And so I bought a house and tried to rent it out. Was unsuccessful. And people started sending me these letters trying to buy it. And I was like, well, why don't you teach me how to buy them? These are people from Washington State, California. This is crazy. They want to buy my house here. In Atlanta. And so I called them all back and I said, well, why don't you teach me how to do it? And, I didn't know anything about wholesaling. I thought you had to have, the money to buy the house. And so, this guy, he had a coaching program. I signed up and I started doing deals that way. And essentially, I would get the property under contract and then I would sell that contract to a buyer. I would get the seller at a certain price, and then I would get a buyer at, you know, 4 or 5 thousand more, and I would sell it and, you know, collect the difference. And then, you know, later on I found out that he wasn't really an investor, that he had bought a program that taught him how to teach me and all this crazy stuff. So if you want to think about it, you know, if somebody who doesn't know how to wholesale can make money wholesaling, you know, imagine what you can do if you actually know what you're doing. Like, it's crazy. And so I eventually kicked it off with him, and you know, I was so mad that he was, you know, I found out he was a fake, and I had to come up with my own way, you know, doing deals and getting buyers and getting sellers. And, you know, I latched onto that original thing I had with, you know, the first house I inherited. So I had a house that was sitting there vacant. I didn't want it. And so I just drove around, and I started looking for other houses that were vacant. And I mailed out to only the ones that, you know, again, like my mentor had taught me, you know, I mailed out only to the ones that were vacant. You know, they were motivated to sell because it was some house, you know, way over on the other side of Atlanta that they just didn't want to deal with. And luckily enough, I was able to get out, you know, from working at Walmart pushing carts. And then later on, I finally got that house rented out, like after I started wholesaling. So, that's pretty much it, you know, to current day.
Excellent. Great story. How did you get started wholesaling? So, Mike, meaning that you're experienced in wholesaling, you do multiple deals a month. Is it important for someone to get started in wholesaling with a 20% down payment?
What do you mean, like, on the house that they're going to wholesale?
Correct.
Well, I always, every time I look at a deal, I'm always trying to think of ways of how I can spend no money at all. I worked with my closing attorney, and, you know, I'm not an attorney, so I couldn't, you know, change the document. But we worked out a way to where the end buyer would pay that money. So therefore, you know, one lady wanted $10,000 in earnest money deposit, and I was able to give it to her because the end buyer was going to end up paying it at the closing table. So it depends on the seller. If, you know, and I don't even bring it up unless the seller brings it up. But if they want, you know, 25% down, you know, I can easily say, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, it's whatever is important to them, you know, because they're the, wherever that motivation is, you've got to find it. And if it's that 25% is all they want, you know, do the deal and get it done. But it's not important.
Just to recap. Yes, absolutely. That's correct. That's the key word I was looking for, Mike. So for those of you who are out there listening, just keep in mind what Mike just said. In regard to any down payment amount, whether it's a 20% down payment, 10% down payment, that has no effect on Mike as a wholesaler, and neither will it have an effect on you. So it does not require large sums of money to get started wholesaling, because what you're doing with wholesaling is you're getting a property under contract with a motivated seller, a person who's in a need-to-sell situation, not, I would like to sell, or, yeah, I would love to sell, but a need-to-sell. So Mike gets that property under contract with that individual, and then he assigns or sells his contract to an end buyer, in which the end buyer, like me, for example, I'm a buy-and-hold investor, and I also done some flips in the past, so I wouldn't mind buying a deal from a wholesaler. But it's up to me, from a buyer's standpoint, to come up with a down payment amount. So, Mike, my next question to you is this. In regard to wholesaling, from a wholesaler's point of view, do Do you need to have a certain credit score to get started?
No. I don't think I still have a – I think my credit score is, like, horrible, you know. But I went about it – like, you know, we had similar problems starting out is, you know, our credit wasn't good, and you went the route of making your credit better. And I found a way around it. So my credit never comes into effect because, you know, I'm getting the contract and then I'm selling that contract to a buyer. You know, it's the buyer's funds that are paying for the property. So if anybody's credit did come up, it would be the end buyer, the cash buyer. But no, I've never had to use my credit. And, you know, as a wholesaler, I'm not in any database either. So later on down the line, if somebody's credit, you know, gets messed up or anything happens, you know, I'm never the one that they come looking for because they can't find me.
Excellent, excellent. So for those of you who are interested in getting started in real estate investing, and if you're listening to this recording and you do some self-analysis and say, you know what, I don't have the large down payment money available yet, and B, I don't have the FICO score yet, the credit score, then of course you may want to entertain getting started in wholesaling. In addition to getting your credit fixed, which we offer at 100%finance.com. You know, so even though your credit might not be up to par, don't just say, okay, I'll just dance around it, but make sure you face the music and get that repaired as well. Not only does it affect you in business, obviously it affects you in regard to your personal finances. So, Mike, you mentioned earlier about having a mentor. How important is it for everyone to have a mentor or coach when getting started?
I mean, it was extremely important. Like, I had nowhere to, you know, I didn't even know what wholesaling was until this guy had, you know, signed me up and started teaching me. But, you know, he was somebody I could email him and just send him a message and say, hey, you know, something's not right with this seller, something's weird. And then he would give me something to do, and I'd go find out that, you know, that person wasn't really the seller. They were the brother. And, you know, cut out of the will or something like that. And then I would be like, oh, well, let me go, deal with the person who actually owns the property. You know, and there's always weird stuff that's always going to come up that you're never going to see coming. I mean, I'm still hearing stories from other people that get started that, you know, that I've never heard before. And it's like, how does that, you know, there's new stuff like always happening. I don't know why I still get surprised, but I do with all the, you know, the crazy new stuff that people come up with. And, you know, and also it was like recently they came out with Dodd-Frank, which, you know, I'm like, well, does this affect me wholesaling? And, you know, I don't have a mentor right now, but I have a mastermind, which is what this coaching program is. It's a mastermind. And, you know, I can go to them and ask them, like, well, is Dodd-Frank going to affect, you know, me wholesaling? And, you know, the answer is no, because I never actually own the property. But, you know, it's good having that peace of mind knowing that that you're fine. You know, it's like for me, it was getting the that thing on the contract that said that I could back out, that particular wording that said, like, I could back out if I need to. You know, for any reason, because I was always afraid, like, am I going to be liable for the condo? Like, am I going to actually, am I going to have to buy the house? You know, what happens if they take me to court, you know, anything like that? And, you know, he said, well, no, there's this stipulation right here, this due diligence period, you know, that you can just back out of. And it's as easy as, like, putting a message on Facebook or an email or, you know, you can get on a coaching call. I wasn't able to do that with my, you know, mentor because he had, you know, email, probably because he had other people doing it for him. But here, you know, if you're signed up into the coaching program for wholesaling, you know, you're going to talk to me, you know, and I'm going to answer your questions right there on the spot and, you know, help you out. And that is, there's no amount of time I could spend making a perfect home study course that's going to teach you everything. There's always going to be new stuff coming up, new laws coming out, and I'm going to find new ways around them. And it's always great to have that guy right behind you that you just say, hey, you know, something's not right here, you know, because you want to make mistakes, right, and fail, you know, so you can be like me and Juan. But, you know, if you're going to make the big mistake and go to court and go to jail, you know, a mentor can help you avoid those.
That's true, Mike. It's better to make the mistakes during practice than to make those same mistakes in the game. So with the coaching program, that's pretty much practice, right? Because you have a deal analyzer. You'll be going through some previous deals you've done so that you can see it as a case study. So that way you say, oh, okay, I understand that now. Oh, I made a mistake. At least you did it while practicing and not in real life. So my next question to you is this, speaking on mistakes. What are the biggest mistakes that beginners make when getting started in wholesaling?
That's a good question. I would say busy work. Like everybody thinks that, you know, not just wholesaling, but everybody thinks like, you know, when I was at Walmart, people would just be like, let me just do stuff. If I'm like, if they're doing stuff, they're being productive, you know. Oh, you know, if I do this, I can get 60 cents extra an hour and, you know, be a supervisor and move up. And it's, you know, busy work doesn't equate to, you know, being more profitable. I hear wholesalers go door knocking, and they go through a whole neighborhood and they knock on the door, and you know, you ask the person, you know, do you want to sell your house? Are you interested in selling? You know, and usually you'll get a yes or a no, and if they don't come to the door, you'll leave a hanger on the doorknob. You know, it says, hey, you know, we'd like to buy your house, but you know, I see them always in nice neighborhoods. Nobody wants to sell their house, or if they do, they want to get enough money to buy a better house. You know, people want to move up. They don't want to downgrade. And so I wonder how much, how profitable that is, you know, door knocking. And I think it's a little bit more of also it's a rite of passage, like putting out bandit signs. You know, it gets the adrenaline going. It's scary. I mean, it wasn't scary for me. You know, I've always been that guy that just walks up to people and starts a conversation. But I've always thought, like, is it going to, you know, how many leads am I going to get? Like, if it doesn't pan out, I'm not going to do it again. But people get addicted to that adrenaline of door knocking and putting out bandit signs. But if you're not putting out bandit signs in the right, you know, areas, you know, if you're not getting calls, you know, is this thing that I'm doing going to result in profit, or is this task going to lead to the task that gets me to the profit? You know, if I send out mailers, you know, to people with motivation, you know, how many are going to call in? And if that doesn't work, you know, that becomes busy work. And so I'll need to find a better way to do it. And then, you know, for those who haven't gotten started, the biggest mistake they make is not getting started. You know, people keep putting it off, and I've heard a lot lately, you know, new year, new me, 2017, you know, I'm finally going to get started in real estate, but, you know, just stop talking about it and get started. You know, what's that first step that you're going to take to get into real estate? Maybe that's a call, you know, with Juan or Ryan. So that's the biggest mistake. And every other mistake pretty much comes down to that. Really just busy work that's not profitable.
I think that was a perfect answer, Mike. Very good. For one, simply not getting started is a mistake. And many people do that, Mike. They say, well, I have to wait till my credit gets pretty, or I gotta wait until I free up some more time, or I gotta wait for this and that. At the end of the day, it's just excuses, right? And you say, you know what? Just take action. And if you need some assistance, then that's what the coach is for.
Yeah, secondly, how you do They say how you do anything is how you do everything. I'm not sure who said that quote, but, you know, if you're just going to push this off until later, you know, you're always going to be pushing it off. You know, if you just get done with, you know, your McDonald's and you just throw it on the floor and just trash up your house, you know, you're always going to be a trashy person. You know, if you don't clean up your act now, you know, you're never going to clean it up.
Right. And if your desk is disorganized with paperwork, perhaps your thought process is sort of the same way, disorganizing your mind. So for one, you said not getting started. And for two, you said being focused on being busy, but not necessarily being productive or lead to profits. So that ties into my next question, Mike, about profits and business, right? With every business, your main focus is to generate a profit at the end of the day. Even though you might be contributing such great value to society, but if your business is not profitable, then it doesn't make any sense. So speaking of which, Mike, you run wholesaling as if it was a business and not as if you were self-employed. So if you can give our listeners some tips or some ideas of how you can run wholesaling as a business without letting the whole cat out the bag.
Well, I mean, you know, it is a business, you know, in that it generates revenue. But when I was getting started, and, you know, a couple years after it, I would spend all my time marketing to sellers. And then I would, you know, then move over and then I'd start taking the calls. And then, you know, another week would go by and I would start meeting with the people at the house and I'd get it under contract. And then, like, the next week I would go and I'd try and sell the house. And then once I sold it, I'd get the money. But then I didn't have any marketing, and so I'd have to go back to marketing again, and I'd have to start that whole process. There'd be a whole, almost about a month that I wouldn't have any marketing going out. So I'd have to go back, and, you know, it was just an endless cycle. I had bought myself another job, pretty much. And so then I got a VA on, you know, to do the marketing in the background, and I set the campaign in the back office, and I say, you know, we're going to send this letter out here and this postcard out there. And, you know, for the whole, I'd say like 5 months, you know, I've got it all planned out and they send it all out. And, you know, aside from the stuff that I'm doing in-house now, you know, letters and stick and stamps and everything in-house, because it's quicker, you know, I get the nephews to do it. So, again, I've got somebody else doing it, you know, and teaching other family members about entrepreneurship, probably at the lowest level. But I've got other people doing it. And then, you know, the VA does most of it. I've got also a call center now. I was early on. I was taking all the calls, and I was the solopreneur, and I was doing everything. And then I got a call center managing the calls. So by the time, you know, the seller gets to me and I call them to go show up at the house and give them their contract, I already know they're motivated, you know. And of course I go to the ones who are more motivated. I talk to everybody, but I want to hit the people who are ready to go first, because that's going to be more profitable. And then if I have some spare time, I'll go back and I'll talk to the ones who are slightly motivated, maybe on the fence. And I can do that because I've got the call center screening them and asking all the questions. And I don't have to listen to Jeb or Bush or whoever, you know, broke his hip and decided to live in the property and then they had to kick him out. And I don't have to know any of the story. You know, the person at the call center gets all that. They hear it. They write it down. They put it right into my back office. That's another thing, too, is my back office is set now to where, you know, the leads come directly into it, so I don't have to take them out of an email and put them in there. I'm not taking calls myself. I'm outside of the business, pretty much. You know, that's the, in my mind, the definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who works on their business and not in the business. I mean, at first I was in the business, but I had the goal to eventually get out of it and work on it. So, and then I took it to DFW or Fort Worth, to be exact. And I did it there. And then I recently went into Orlando. And so I'm doing it there. So it works in multiple states as well as here. And that was just to see if I could, you know, do it in another state. And I've got the same setups out there. I've got, you know, VAs and you know, people in the background working on it for me. And when you start working on it as a business, too, and you're not in it, you can sit back and look in, and you can notice things that you can do better, that you can improve on. Well, maybe I can get somebody else, you know. Maybe I can just have the VA email the contracts right to the closing attorney so I don't have to, and things like that, you know, working on your business instead of in it.
That's great. I'm glad you brought us some insight, Mike, in regard to how you treat wholesaling as a business. So, guys, if you're listening, you can hear specific things that Mike is doing. Number one, he's focused on being the CEO, the entrepreneur, not working in it, as he mentioned, just on it, from the outside looking in. Secondly, he's also outsourcing activities, simple activities for someone who can be a VA, a virtual assistant in another country, perhaps, who's doing some of the simple functions of the business, some of the mundane activities, so that he doesn't have to do it. He also has someone else picking up the phone. And Mike, being that I know you, I understand you also have Polio, you have a CRM that you set up for the coaching students as well so they can mimic how you run your business. You also have, I assume, someone else to do a mailing campaign for you and so forth. So my question to you, Mike, is this. If someone signs up for your coaching program, what are the things that you bring to the table?
Well, I've done it already. I've got everything perfected, you know, the right questions to ask, the right way to ask them. So, for example, like the seller's app I have in Podio, I give that web URL, that website, to my call center. And so they answer all those questions for me. And I word them in such a way that when the call center, when the lady reads them off, she'll read them just like a normal conversation. And it's also what, you know, the buyers from where I'm at are looking for. And, of course, I've got a buyer's app in there as well. And, you know, you're easily going to – you can just take a look at it and you can say, well, I've got buyers looking in these two zip codes. And then I've got – you know, I'm getting sellers in these two other zip codes, you know, well, why don't I send my marketing there? And you can see that just from looking into Podio, as well as, you know, contacts and managing the closings and all of that. There's also a spreadsheet that I have in there where you can plug in the rent, the ARV, how much profit you want to make, a couple of numbers. And it will spit out your offer depending on how much repairs the property needs. So it's all pretty much done in there, and you can just copy it, clone it over to your base, and then have it run. I mean, you don't have to trial and error. You don't have to see if it's going to work. It works. It works in multiple states. You just copy it over and you know, swipe and deploy.
Excellent, excellent. And just to also add to what Mike just described in regard to the wholesale and coaching program that Mike spearheads, by the way, you also get to speak to Mike one-on-one. You also get to speak to him in a group setting so that you can network with other like-minded individuals. And you also receive instruction, not just in a group setting, but one-on-one, so he'll look over your financial situation and help guide you on a step-by-step basis on what you need to do to be a successful wholesaler in this business. It also includes our e-books, as there's an added package to that, and he also has a Q&A call, and we also have a mastermind call as well, just to tell you those intangibles. So at the end of the day, wholesaling, multifamily, investing, real estate in general is a business. And there are certain traits that you need to master that correlate to any industry, such as managing a team, such as being able to negotiate, power of persuasion, presentation, following up, and so forth. So all these things are included in the mastermind call. So if you guys are interested, make sure you apply in the link in this podcast episode so that we can call you for your consultation. So, Mike, before we wrap up this recording, I want to ask you, what are your top three audiobooks and videos?
So, I was thinking The Power of Broke, which is by Damon John, and it's about how to use, you know, the struggle to, being broke, obviously, of how to use that to motivate you. And even once you do get money, how to use the power of broke, to keep pushing your business forward. And then a staple, I'd have to pick How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which, you know, is going to help you out with, like, dealing with sellers and everything. You want to win them as friends and influence them to sell you the house. And then The Miracle Morning. And that is by Hal Elrod. And it's a group of morning rituals that you do, like meditation and writing and reading. Once you read that book and start, when you do like one miracle morning, you're set and you're going to do it for the rest of your life, because it changes you completely. Like, you're not going to believe it until you read it. Great book.
And videos, Mike.
Videos. I was really, about videos. I guess I'd say like the Facebook Live videos from other wholesalers. And, from Juan Pablo are really great. I don't know if there are a lot of videos. It's really, aside from, like, YouTube.
Whatever and, comes to mind that you like.
Yeah,
to watch,
yeah. So, like, a couple years ago, I got started watching, Juan's videos, and they were great, because I had gone the other way. And then... maybe a movie. There's a movie called Moneyball, which is it's about this analytical guy, and he databases all the baseball players and how much they're paid per year, I guess, and then itemized how many runs they get, how many scores, and he determines how much they get paid per score, per run. And so, the problem, the guy gets hired by a guy to, because he doesn't have a whole lot of money like the other teams. And so he's like, I got a little bit of money. How can I use this little bit of money to get a team that's going to win? And I guess when you win in baseball, they give you money. So to be profitable, the least amount of money, how can I get the most amount of runs? And, at the end, whether they win or lose, I'm not going to tell you. But that was a really good movie on how, not just what you're doing, but how you're doing it and how to get the most out of what you're doing. And not just, because all these other teams would just throw money at players. But they wouldn't be getting as many runs as the other guy, So that was a really good movie.
Okay, that's good. So, Mike, any words of advice for our listeners out there?
I would say think about what you're doing and whether or not it's profitable, really, is it. what it comes down to. I hear all these other guys been like, you know, just get out there and go crush it, you know, just crush it. And, you know, don't do that. Like, don't go out there and just, you know, whatever, think about it before you do it. Like, what's the best way for me to go about it? I like to think of myself, like I pretend that I am Sherlock Holmes, you know, Robert Downey Jr. from that movie. And I pretend,
right.
You know, like before I go at it, I'm like, all right, you know, right hand to left cheek and then left punch to, you know, his gut and then whatever, how I'm going to accomplish the task. Because, you know, I learned early on at Walmart, it wasn't what you actually did. It was how you were perceived. You know, if people thought you did a whole bunch of stuff, you know, they would think more highly of you. And there was one night in particular, I got like 6 pallets I had to do in 2 hours. And I was like, y'all are crazy. There's no way I'm going to do this. And they said, just get it done. You know, or we'll write you up. And one more write up and I was going to be fired. So I sat around for like an hour and I was like, what am I going to do? Like, there's no way I'm going to do 6 pounds. Like, they were just coming up with an excuse to get rid of me. And the overnight truck pulled up and they opened the doors and just waited around. And so they left. I wrapped up these, because pallets come wrapped in plastic. So I wrapped them all up in plastic and I put like Monster Energy drinks in there and, you know, cans and bottles, empty water bottles, and I stuck them back up in that overnight truck. So I put all of them in that truck overnight, ended up working them, thinking that that was on their truck because it looked like all the other pallets. And so management was like, man, you did all this work. And I was like, yep, all 6 pallets, done. You know, and they eventually, like, came up later on with a reason to cut me. But, you know, I wouldn't have completed that task otherwise unless, I guess, and that goes back to being a business. If I hadn't have gotten the other tricked overnight into working those pallets for me. But that was something that Walmart had taught me early on, is not just like to go out and do it, but to, you know, think about what you're going to do and do it in the best way possible. The highest and best use.
Excellent. So you heard it first, guys, from an ex-Walmart employee to now a full-time wholesaler who generates on average $20,000 a month. So this guy, Magic Mike, can do it. Not to negate or subtract anything from you, Mike, but if you can do it, you could do it. We all started off with humble beginnings, guys. So don't assume just because Magic Mike, as he mentioned earlier in this episode, that he inherited a property, that he came from a lot of money or a lot of wealth. If that's the case, then why was he working doing pallets at Walmart? You know, so don't make that assumption and try to count him out saying, oh, well, he started off in the head start. No, he didn't. But he was still able to take those humble beginnings and to make it a profitable end. And you can too. So if you're interested, whether it's in wholesaling, in credit repair, business funding, or any other of our coaching programs, go to 100%finance.com, sign up, and we'd love to call you for your consultation. So thanks again, Magic Mike, and you'll be seeing him some more on our other platforms. So check us out on Facebook as well as on YouTube. As always, to your success.